Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over a million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I am ecstatic because I have Jeff Woods here with me today. Jeff is the vice president of The One Thing and the host of The One Thing podcast. Jeff, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you.
The feeling is so mutual. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be so fun. A lot of my clients listening know I'm a huge fan. I highly recommend The One Thing. I even show them in my calendar. My mornings are blocked out and it literally says My One Thing.
Yeah.
I keep it there and I preach that to them that focusing on this is really going to change your day. So before we dive in, do you want to just share a little bit about how The One Thing came to be and who you, what role you play in the business? Because they might be thinking, wait, I didn't think this was who wrote the book, but
yeah, exactly. Sure. So let's go way back in time when Gary Keller was building Keller Williams. Today it's the largest real estate company in the world, but way back when it was a small little company, and Gary had international ambitions. He wanted to grow this into a global powerhouse. Every week he'd sit down with his key leaders and they'd bring in their list of priorities and they'd talk to him about it and he'd coach them and they'd get really clear and they'd go and they'd take action. And week after week after week, Stacey, they would come back not accomplishing the things that mattered most. And so Gary started saying, great, if you could only accomplish three things this week, what would it be? They still weren't getting it done. Okay, if you could only accomplish two things this week, what would it be? They still weren't getting it done. And finally, it was out of frustration that one day he asked a question that became the focusing question of the book.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you can do such that by doing it, everything else would be easier or unnecessary? And when people got clarity on that lead domino, the one thing that if they just knocked that down, that everything else would fall, the company exploded. And so you fast forward to 2013, Gary and his co-author Jay Papasan wrote The One Thing and published it. You fast forward, by 2015, it was one of the highest rated business books of all time. Now, I was introduced to The One Thing because at the time I was in medical device sales, which was an awesome job. I woke up every day wearing scrubs. I ran through hospitals selling a device that saved lives. I would try to get my wife to call me McDreamy. She would just say no. But I think like a lot of your audience, they, even though things might be good in your life, mm-hmm. something's missing.
Yeah.
I wasn't fulfilled. And two things happened to me that, or for me, that really woke me up. The first was a colleague of mine had a stroke. And at the time he was 35 years old. Mm. And I remember my wife and I had just bought a house in Orange County, just had our first child. My wife decided to become a stay-at-home mom. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if what happened to my colleague had happened to me, what happens to my family? And that was really unsettling. And then the next week, my company slashed my income by 40%. So you put those two things back to back, I'm realizing it is time to start my own business. But I had no clue how. Well, you fast forward, it's our national sales meeting and Jay is our keynote speaker.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, talking about The One Thing. And the whole time I am in the back row thinking, how do I get in a relationship with this guy? Yeah. What could I say to him to make him interested in me? What could I give him to make it worth his time? And when he got off stage, it's just something in my body said, go, Jeff, go. And before you know it, I'm literally sprinting down the side of the room and basically latched onto him like a koala bear. And that began a relationship. Because what I did not know was that Gary and Jay wanted to turn the book into a company. Mm. But Gary's one thing is running Keller Williams.
Yeah.
Jay's one thing is writing books. They needed somebody whose one thing was The One Thing.
Yeah. I love it.
And that's how I came to the fold. Yeah.
Such a good story. Okay. Amazing. So as we're recording this, I'm not sure exactly when this is airing the next few weeks, but as we're recording this today, the world is just going crazy over the coronavirus. Yeah. And people are now talking recession and small business owners are freaking out thinking, what is going to happen? And I realize as I was about to record with you, the one thing is more important than ever for them to truly step into leaning into what's working and what's going to be that domino effect. So why is it so important that people identify this, especially in this time right now?
Yeah, sure. Well, I can tell you what normal world looks like. Yeah. People just start their work days. They open their computers, check email till they go to their first meeting. They get out of their meeting and they check their email until somebody says, hey, do you got a minute? And that repeats all day long. And that's why so many people fast forward to the end of the day and they feel like they were busy, but they actually question if they got anything done. You take that to today where offices are closing, kids are out of school. So your normal environment, your normal working environment has been completely disrupted. Your top line revenues of many companies are at stake, yet costs are still there. So profitability is on the line. So now more than ever, we are in a world of chaos. And this is when we have to realize the path to getting everything you want is not to do everything at the same time. It is not to react to everything. Now more than ever before, you must be hyper clear on what all those dominoes are. Line them up and be clear on the first one so that you can whack away at that one first.
So I know a lot of people, they'll come to me and they'll say, I have so many things. I'm so multi-passionate and everything seems so important. I even had a client send me, I wanted to see what they were. And she had 10 massive one things on her list.
Sure.
What would you tell her to get that down to truly finding the one thing?
Whenever you are hitting a ceiling of achievement in your life, you're either missing a person or a system. You're missing a person in the form of either leverage or a mentor or coach, or you're missing a system, a better way of doing things. So for that client, if I hear that they have 10 legitimate one things, major initiatives, my first question is he or she spread too thin?
Yeah.
Because if so, then his or her one thing is actually going and finding somebody whose one thing is one of those items, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think the thing for everybody is we all have too much to do and not enough time. The mistake people make is they view everything on their plate as a bunch of things on their plate. The opportunity is to view them as dominoes. And just like when we were little kids, line them up and understand that it would be ridiculous to go to the 18th domino and knock that one down. Mm-hmm. No, you go to the first one and you whack that one down. And if you do it correctly, Stacey, what happens?
They all keep going.
They all keep going. Mm-hmm. Same thing here.
Yeah. Yeah. And with this person in particular, these were all big, almost big goals and big dreams that she really wanted to do, but it was probably over several months, maybe even a couple of years that some of these were going to happen. And I think we have to ask ourselves, like, what's the one thing right now that we need to spend our focus on?
This is one of the most important skills that most people have not developed. Mm-hmm. How do you take a vision or a goal and turn that into an activity that you can do today? You know, a perfect example, if you say you want to transform your health, great. What do you have to eat at your next meal? People don't know how to bridge that gap. It's too far. Mm-hmm. Yet you can follow a process that we call goal setting to the now, where when you begin with that vision and imagine that you turned backwards and looked on your life and said, great, if that's where I want to be in 5 years, where do I have to be by the end of this year? And if that's where I need to be by the end of this year, what do I have to do this month to feel like I'm on track? And if that's what I have to do this month, what absolutely must I accomplish this week in order to be on track? Because when you can get that level of clarity, suddenly you know what you need to time block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think having reverse engineer those massive goals into truly, like you said, the quarter, the month, the week, the day, the hour, like what next, and just keep going back to what is that one thing. I keep my top like three things that I have to do on my post-it in my office. And my one thing is the thing at the top. And I don't get to go to the next thing until that one is done. And just seeing it visually is so helpful. Now in the book, I can't remember this. I thought it was 4 hours a day or something like that.
Sure.
But what are you specifically saying we should be spending? Like how much time should we be giving our one thing?
First, I'm going to acknowledge that the one thing is the surprisingly simple truth behind extraordinary results. If you are making a commitment to achieving extraordinary, you have to be willing to do extraordinary things. So Gary would suggest to you should have 4 hours a day blocked for your one thing. half your day blocked for the things that matter most. Mm-hmm. And what I can tell you as a practice leader, somebody who started with reading the book and then going on the journey, most people cannot do that. Mm-hmm. That's not the one thing they can do. Yet if we pay attention to what the focusing question is, it's what's the one thing you can do?
Yeah.
Such that by doing it, everything else would be easier or unnecessary. And I would challenge you, can you start with 30 minutes a day? Can you really, for 30 minutes, not be distracted by email, not be distracted by notifications or phones or other people? Can you really do that? Yeah. And if the answer is no, no shame. Can you do 15? And if the answer is no, can you do 5? Here's what I have learned as a practice leader, Stacey. Perfection gets in the way of what's possible.
Definitely.
People have this idea of, oh, I should be able to do 4 hours. And because they set that as the measure of success, they feel like a failure and it gets in the way of what's possible. Mm-hmm. Instead, you need to celebrate progress. So mm-hmm. I would make that lead domino so small that it's 2 inches, that with the flick of a finger, effortlessly it falls. But because the dominoes are lined up, everything else really is easier or necessary.
Yeah. And I mean, most of my people listening, they are small business owners working on their business. That is their one thing. But some of people listening have other 9-to-5 jobs. So now they're thinking, but where am I going to find those 4 hours? So I think that was helpful, Jeff, that you just said, then do 15 minutes, do an hour, whatever you're able to do.
Can I share with you what one of my, one thing was?
Yeah.
So when I came into the business, I came across the quote in the book from F.M. Alexander that people do not decide their futures. They decide their habits and their habits decide their futures. And I went on what we call a 66-day challenge. It takes on average 66 days to form a habit. We've got this calendar, you print it out and it's got 66 days on it. And every day you do your one thing, you get to put a big X on it. And I asked myself the question, what's the one habit I can form that would make everything else easier or unnecessary? And I thought, well, if I'm supposed to be an ambassador of this brand, I've got to start acting in order of priority. Okay, well, what's the one thing I can do to act in order of priority? I think I'd have to know what my priority is. Okay, well, what's the one thing I can do to know what my priority is? Well, we have a tool we use called a 411. I'd have to use that. Okay, well, what's the one thing I could do to use a 411? See how I'm reverse engineering it and going smaller and smaller and smaller? I'd have to check my 411 every day. Okay, well, what's the one thing I can do to make sure I check my 411 every day? I check my 411 before I check my email. I would check my priorities before I checked everyone else's. And literally every day, before I even earned the right to open up my computer, I had to look at my 411 and check my priorities. And something interesting happened, Stacey. When I saw the thing that mattered most for this week, what do you think I did?
Hopefully the thing, the 401. Yeah.
I started focusing on that thing. I was
like, I really hope you did it.
Yeah. I'm seeing that thing is staring at me in the face. It's like, okay, let's at least start focusing on that.
Yeah.
Before I even got distracted by everybody's else's priorities, it changed my world. For the first time in my life, I felt like I saw color when I had been living in black and white and never knew it.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And email is, it's the worst because it really does put everybody else is deciding what's happening today. So I think a lot of us are getting better at email. It's still a struggle for many, but I think the new thing I'm seeing is people's project management software is starting to be the new form of email because there's an inbox in there. Have you seen this or seen struggles? And would you recommend that somebody who is the CEO that is running their company should also be setting up specific times after their one thing to check? Or is there one thing supporting their team? Like, where is the balance there?
Sure. Few things. We don't dive too much into the project management softwares because now that's getting pretty tactical and nitty gritty. And we live in the world of timeless truths. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the CEO, like, should you have time to be in your inbox? Sure. If I look at my partner, Jay, who's on the other side of this wall, he's got 3 times a day that he goes into his inbox. He does it early in the morning. He does it after lunch and he does it right before he goes home. He's got those batch times. But that for him is him giving himself permission all the rest of the day to not even feel tempted to look. Because he knows he's got time to go in there. And if as a leader, you're right. No one succeeds alone. You must succeed through your team. But I would press for specificity. What's the one thing you can do that would make supporting your team easier or unnecessary? Mm-hmm. I asked that question going into this year, and I realized the one thing I can do is to have one meeting, we call it a tactical meeting, on Fridays where I pull my team together and we focus on major initiatives that really require our collective genius. I just wrapped that meeting before coming here. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I can do as a leader. But you just got to get it down to an activity you can do.
Yeah, I love this. So talking tactics and strategy, how much of the one thing is strategy and how much of it is mindset?
Ooh, I have never been asked that question.
Oh, wow.
I'd say
I'd love to challenge you.
Yeah. I would reframe it.
Okay.
It's reflecting and planning.
Mm, okay.
Which is strategy and mindset. Yep. Most people, if we followed them around with a video camera and documented their every move, mm-hmm. what we would see them doing is reacting all day. We would see them running really fast, but sometimes running enthusiastically in the wrong direction. So part of the rhythm of having a relationship with your goals is having time every week. We call it planning time. Mm-hmm. This is time when you look back on this past week and ask, what were my priorities? How did I actually do? How do I feel about that? Based on that, what do I need to do differently this week? Those four questions, by the way, that will give you such amazing insight.
Yeah.
And then when you look forward to this week to say, great, if this is what I said I wanted to accomplish this year, and this is what I need to accomplish this month, how do I date my goals this week? How do I have a relationship with my goals? What are the priorities I must accomplish this week? When am I actually going to do them? Let me block that time now. Right. And when you do that, you start to realize all the other stuff that's on your digital calendar that's actually a distraction.
Yeah.
And you've got to make sure your planner matches your priorities.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed, it's usually because I do not have those blocks scheduled.
Yes.
Or it's just an idea. And I'm like, I need to work on this, but I don't have when. And the when makes me feel overwhelmed. So I've got to get it on there.
So they did a study. This is the evidence behind time blocking. They took three groups of people and separated them, and they wanted to test to see what would actually lead to people exercising more. The first group was the control group, and all they did is they told this group to exercise over a two-week period, mm-hmm. sent them on their way. The next group was handed a pamphlet and talked about the benefits of exercise and why they should do it, and then sent on their way. The third group, however, Stacey, was the group where they not only gave them the pamphlet, not only gave them the pep talk, but then they said, tell me, pick a date, a time, and a place that you will do it. Interesting. All the things inside of a time block, date, time, place.
Yeah.
The first group, 35% likely to exercise. Second group, 38%. Third group was in the 90s.
Wow.
You were almost three times more likely to do your one thing when you blocked it.
I have not heard that study. That is so, so important for us to really hear and take that in. The fact that you're more likely to do it just by putting it on that calendar versus an idea in your head or even just, you know, on something on a notebook, right? It's there, but it's not scheduled quite yet.
Well, let's get really practical here. How do you decide what to be doing in any moment on any given day?
I'm looking at my calendar.
You're looking at your calendar. Mm-hmm. This was a huge aha for us. We've got a community of people that are committed to living the one thing. And every week they do a 411. They get clarity on their priorities. And over a period of time, people were sharing that they still weren't getting it done. Mm. And when we really dove in, you know what the missing link was? They weren't time blocking it. Mm. They were getting clear on their priorities, but they weren't transferring it to their planner.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
It seems so obvious, but when you're doing it, you don't notice it.
This is why it's the surprisingly simple truth mm-hmm. behind extraordinary results.
Yeah.
None of this is new ideas, folks, and none of this is complex. Yet if we're honest with ourselves, most people don't do it.
Mm-hmm. So looking at your one thing is the one thing podcast, the company, the one thing.
Yeah.
What is your one thing in the business? Like, what do you do specifically?
Sure. So my one thing as the person running the business is different than my job in the business as the president. Okay. So ultimately I'm in charge of growth, right? Yeah. So if we look at my 411, you see lead generation, like 200 hours of lead generation this year, 20 hours of lead gen this month. I'm way freaking behind 15 hours of lead gen this week. Okay. Like, do you see how I could just break that down so freaking fast?
Yeah.
That's ultimately is growth. Okay. And if I look at for the business overall, my one thing, it's vision.
Okay.
It's casting the vision so that people can see themselves in it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So good. So good. And I loved in the beginning when you said, like, Gary isn't here right now because his one thing is running Keller Williams and Jay is writing books. And then I know there's a mindset piece behind that of somebody saying, well, that's nice that you have all these people, but I don't have these people, but it can still be done with the one thing, how you said reverse engineering.
Sure.
How are you going to get those people?
Most people go through their days spending their time, not investing their time. Mm. What do you think the difference is, Stacey, between an expense and an investment?
Well, I tell my people that one, you are spending money, and the other one is a revenue generator. Like, it's bringing something back to you.
Bingo. Most people, when they go through their days, they go, oh, how can I spend my time? I've got 5 minutes to spend. I've got 5 minutes to kill, 5 minutes to waste. Oh, gosh, throw up now.
Yeah.
Right? Versus mm-hmm. saying, how, based on the time that I have allotted, how can I get the maximum ROI? And Gary and Jay taught me really early on to lead with revenue. They said, what can you do right off the bat to generate revenue so that you earn the right to bring on leverage? And that's really what it is. And I'll share a real world example. Toward the end of last year, I began to notice that I had a track record of not honoring my lead gen time blocks. Mm. I had time blocked to prospect and to sell.
Okay.
And I wasn't doing it. And when I had one of my planning time blocks and I looked back, reflected back on the week and asked, what was my priority? Lead generation. How did I do? Terrible. How do I feel about that? Not good. What am I going to do differently? Honor my lead gen. But I said that last week.
Right.
And then I asked a really powerful question. Why am I not honoring my lead gen? And something really interesting happened. I realized that I had a track record of saying yes to something that seemed really exciting in the moment. Mm. It was actually a distraction. And so I did something interesting. I've been tracking my lead gen, how many calls I make, how many connects, how much business, how much time that takes. And I took how much money came in divided by how many hours it took to get it. And you know what I figured out? When I lead generate, my time is worth $2,500 an hour. Mm. That's no fluff. That's real.
Yeah.
I then looked at my calendar and asked, what in the world is on here that's worth more than $2,500 an hour? Guess what the answer was?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. It's powerful, and you have to really understand your value and what it is worth so you can start to go, no, this isn't worth my time. No, I have to say no to this. I have something more important.
Yep. So to circle back directly to your question, if somebody says, oh, that's great, you have all these people. We're a startup. They hired me and said, go make a business. I wasn't given a blank check. I had to go. In fact, they told me I had to go make $100,000 in 90 days or I was fired. Mm. No joke. So
lit a fire underneath you.
I would challenge you, if you are feeling like you are missing leverage, and if I challenge you to go make $100,000 in the next 90 days, how would you do it? And your homework is to sit down and write down 20 ways that you could make it happen. Mm. The first 5 might come easy. The second 5 are going to be hard. The last 10 are going to be damn near impossible. But guess what? When you ask a big question and you hold yourself to the standard that you must search past the wall of I don't know and find some answers, you will freaking find something.
Yeah.
Then pick one and execute.
Mm-hmm. Got to get creative, especially when you keep hitting the nose. Just time to get creative.
Especially considering right now.
Oh,
our tactical meeting today was mm-hmm. me challenging my team to come up with all the ways we could generate an additional $100,000 in the next 60 days.
Yeah.
Go.
Yep. Yeah. And to realize it is possible as long as you're committed to your one thing. Like, it absolutely can happen, but you have to show up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this. Jeff, this has been amazing. Where can they go and find the book, find more about you and everything, and just share it with us,
sure,
the podcast too?
Yeah, absolutely. So first thing, you're already listening to a podcast. So click that search button and type in The One Thing, all spelled out. Our website is theonething.com. That's with the number one in the URL. So the number one thing.com. If you, on the free stuff page, you'll find that 66 day challenge calendar in the 411. On the training page, we've got some free courses there along with all the other things that we do, whether it's certifying, corporate, all that stuff.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Before we go, one last tip, one last thing you want them to do today or to take action on today.
If you could only do one thing right now, I would challenge you to experience what it's like to ask a great question and search for a great answer. And so what I hope you will do, and this really can take 30 seconds. I hope that when you pause this episode, you can close your eyes and pick an area of your life, whether it's your spirituality, your health, your personal relationships, your job, your business, your finances, just pick an area and ask the question, what's the one thing I can do for my business? That's it. By doing it, everything else would be easier or unnecessary. And actually search for an answer. I promise every single one of you is going to hit the wall of I don't know, and you're going to want to give up. And when that happens, go, Jeff said this was going to happen. Nope. Keep searching. Mm-hmm. But really search for an answer. Yeah. And begin to strengthen that muscle, because it is a muscle. And when that becomes really strong, especially for those of you that are business owners, that's when you start to figure out how to solve some of your most complicated problems. It's when you start to learn how to cast a bigger vision. It's also how you learn how to take things and make them so simple so people can execute.
Mm-hmm. So good. Jeff, thank you for your time. I appreciate you being here. You guys go grab the book, go check out their podcast. It's incredible. So thank you so much, Jeff.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you.
And that's a wrap. If you are loving the Foot Traffic Podcast, then I know you would love Foot Traffic Formula. It's my group coaching and accountability program where we turn your marketing goals into results. Head over to foottrafficprogram.com and get your marketing working for you today.